Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Gospel Wednesday Night Bible Study. And Sister Ruth, who do we got on board with us again tonight?
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Six, and me.
All right. Well, they say ladies first. So, Sister Emily, what kind of prayer request, prayer praises you got for us tonight?
My prayer request, I'm going to say I discussed with you before the show, and I'm just going to leave it as an unspoken.
Okay. Well, then, Brother Six, your turn. What do you got for us?
Good evening, everyone. Just praying for mankind, my family, your family. Everything needs repair, repair. Everything needs fixing, fix it. A mental cleanse, and just a complete reset. Amen. I'm complete.
Amen. Of course, all of our country's leaders, that they'd seek after God, not after man, the situation in Israel. Of course, our military, our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, all of our medical personnel, and, of course, all the patients out there that are sick and shut in, no matter where they may be. And then, of course, the lost in general, especially that soul who is nearest hell, that maybe tonight, that this would be their night, that they'd come to Christ, they'd let us know about it, so that we could rejoice in them, with them, in their newfound joy. For the Six Eyes Radio Network team, and all the needs here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, of course, we want to continue to pray for the blind ministry and its needs, and just in general, for everybody, as Six would say, your fans, my fans, your friends, my friends, and your family, my family, everybody in general. Amen. Okay, Ruth.
I'll just pray for everybody else's request that was on there, and I'm complete.
All right. Well,
did I hear our boss man out there tonight?
That's who you just heard.
If it's okay with Boss Man and okay with you, I'd like to send out a special birthday wish tonight.
Uh-huh.
Right ahead.
I want to wish my beautiful mama a blessed 78th birthday today.
All right.
Amen to that.
Happy birthday, beautiful. 78 years young. Happy birthday from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen. We'll kind of dedicate tonight's show to her. How's that? And we got a good one lined up for you. But first, we're going to have Six give us an opening prayer, and then we'll tell you all about it.
All right. Well, dear Lord, we want to thank you for all that you do. We want to thank you for bringing us into 2024. We want to thank you for allowing this to be a live broadcast, and we are here live. We're not ghosts, so that means we made the woke list. We want to thank you for all you do and continue to do for each and every one of us in our individual lives. We want to thank you for just giving us the energy, the strength, for follow-through, and for correction. So if we ask in Jesus' name, we pray, take away the ills of the world, all the chaos, fix it only as you can. This we ask in Jesus' name we pray. We count it done. Amen.
Amen. All right. Like we said, we got a great show lined up for you. Great gospel music. And then, of course, coming from our Holiness Bibles for the Blind archives, and you can find this same message on our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for F-O-R, theblind.org. You click sermons to find it. You click on sermons, then go down that list of categories till you see holiness with an I, holiness, sermons talking about how to live closer to God. You click on holiness, and on that page, you'll see a list of messages. And the message tonight that you'll want to click on is, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. It's a testimonial of a man who had been in prison. And I won't say no more about it. I'll let you wait. Stay tuned and hear this great testimonial of a man who had been in prison, got right with God, and the rest I'll let him tell you about tonight as you listen to the message. You can download it on that page when you click on the message on the website, I'm not coming back. You could download your own copy after you click that link, and then on that page you can download your own copy of the same message as well. Right there you can also give a love offering if you choose to do so, because when you click on the love offering link, which is totally separate from the download, you could use your PayPal account or your credit card to give a secure donation right there on our PayPal page. But the download is completely separate from the love offering. And then after that, Tim Groover will be going into his 18th try. Will he make it 17 for 18 tonight and tie Ruth? Or will he finally let off the gas and still stay behind Ruth and make it only 16 for 18? We will see tonight as Tim continues with the song and poem. Let's see what he does. And then after that, Ruth is going to be taking us in Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us tonight?
No more war.
Ooh, something that I think we all would love to hear about and have happen.
No more war.
What a great idea. So we'll stay tuned for that message tonight. And then after all that, and we finish, we will come back with open mics for any of your questions or comments on the messages and any final prayer requests at the end there. So let us get into the show tonight. Get ready to boogie for Jesus. Amen.
To me, and mid-earth sorrows and this woe, 'tis heaven my Jesus here to know. Oh, hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven, 'tis heaven to know my sins forgiven. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Once heaven seemed a far off place, till Jesus showed his smiling face. Thou is begun within my soul to last while endless ages roll. Oh, hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven, 'tis heaven to know my sins forgiven on land or what matters where Jesus is, 'tis matters where on earth we dwell, on mountain top or in the dell, in cottage or a mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Oh, hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven, 'tis heaven to know my sins forgiven. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, is here and
there. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? You in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible scroll? Did you open your eyes, hope it never happened, close your eyes and not go to sleep? Did you notice the sunset, first time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a you the difference in our rock and our rain. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
Mother is too weird, super weird. OTCs look ACs, or ACs look DCs with long beards. But the content of contentment just cannot be seen from the outside. And no one can tell if there's a Jekyll or Hyde on the inside. So, well, there'll be hippies in heaven, or long hair and cowboy boots keep us all out. Will only the straights be the leaven? Hating colors and creeds, judging desires and needs by our not me's. The D-bad. Have-nots and want-nots could possibly rather just be free, running free. In the course of our time, we've seen fine people bound to be worthless, and some without stature be the salt of the earth in a true test. So, while there'll be hippies in heaven, all the long hair and cowboy boots keep their soul out. Will only the straight be the leaven? Certainly hope so. I really did want to go.
As white as the snow, God's question to you.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do at your fingertips, F-E-E-L, Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. We're going into 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31.
So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord.
And you notice here something interesting. Most people think, well, after Saul messed up, that he was doomed. No. Even after Saul messed up, he asked Samuel, he says, hey, I want to repent. I want to worship the Lord. And there's the proof in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31, that Samuel did return with Saul, and Saul did worship the Lord. So Saul did repent. He did worship the Lord. But what Samuel did not turn back from, and what God did not repent of or say, okay, Saul, I'm going to forgive you for, he did not change his mind. God did not change his mind when he said he was going to take the kingdom from Saul. Hello. Read your Bible. There it is in 1 Samuel 15. You could see it for yourself. Saul, the kingdom was taken from him. But God did not refuse Saul from worshiping him and repenting and going back to God and repenting, because Saul did return and Saul did worship God. So for those agnostics who say, well, Saul did repent. No, no, no. Saul did go back to God. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse, 1 Samuel 15. And verse 31. Amen.
You give the healing and grace are hearts always hunger for.
Something to keep in store. while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er. Work, for the night is coming, when man's work is
for me don't necessarily mean it'll work for you. But I've tasted and I've tested and I know he's tried and true. So live your time, someday we'll all stand in line. When rewards are handed out, you'll get yours and I'll get mine. But no honorable mentions will come straddling down the line. Live your time, stand in line. You'll get yours and I'll get mine. Live your time, stand in line. You'll get yours and I'll get mine.
For the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren to the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Extrabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you can call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Tim's Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with the Hebrew Word of Week 4. This week, and the Hebrew word of the week is Tzidkenu. Our righteousness, as in the Lord, our righteousness. We looked last week at Yehoah, which is Jehovah. It's spelled Y-E-H-O, V as in Victor, A as in Adam, H. And now this week we're looking at Tzidkenu, our righteousness, as in the Lord, our righteousness. Again, the verse, Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. There's the word righteous there. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu. And again, our righteousness, Tzidkenu. So, S I D K E N U. If it's D S I D K E N U. Is in the Lord our righteousness, and secures our righteousness. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, declares we are all as unclean, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do feet as a leaf, then our iniquities like the wind have taken away. You must have, Jehovah said, the Lord is your righteousness. For you and of yourself have no sin, can do no righteousness of your own.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Go down.
Not one. from serving you.
Thank you.
I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she'd just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
In just a few short minutes, I'll be talking with John Sala, S-A-L-A. His father was for 10 years a judge in New York City, appointed by Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia, a prominent judge, a lawyer, an investigator. But John chose the wrong road in life and ended up in prison. His new book tells the story. The title is I'm Not Coming Back. A young man who had an unusual life, son of a judge, brought up in a prosperous home. But family ties were weak, and he drifted into drugs and crime. And after a long career in that world, John, there came a time when you met Christ in a personal way, and I think it happened in a police station in Florida. Can you remember it and tell us about it?
Yes, I can, Chaplain Ray. It was on March the 13th, 1980. I had just been arrested for armed robbery, attempted murder of a policeman, aggravated assault of another policeman, and grand theft, and had been booked and was in the station house holding cell that night, waiting for the next day to be shipped to the county jail and then to be arraigned. And just the condition of my life was so clear. The fact that I had made a terrible mess of my life and that I was completely incapable of managing my own life. And the misery and the failure and the pain and the hurt of it all just seemed to overtake me. And I remembered the gospel that I had heard when I was in a drug program a few months before. And I began to think about my life and the situation I was in, and I walked back and forth in my cell screaming aloud, "I did it again, I did it again, I did it again," and began to weep and began to remember the gospel that I heard. Preacher Fritsch so often had preached the word very clearly, and I remembered him preaching John 3:16. And I wondered, how could a God, any God, love me and make my life different? I had been a failure, a thief, a liar, a crook, a deceiver, a manipulator. But I asked God, I said, "Lord, if you're out there and if you hear me, if you can make a difference in my life, please do it. Or else just let me die." And once again, I remembered another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I began to ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins. I knew what I had to do, Chaplain Ray,
mm-hmm.
but I had never done it.
That's right.
And I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins, and I was truly miserable that night and truly repentant. And God looked into my heart and saw that I was sincere. And when I called upon his name and asked him to forgive me and to come into my life and to become my Savior and my Lord and to make my life different, I believe that very moment he was in that cell beginning a work in my life. And after a time of real weeping and exhaustion, I just climbed into my bunk and had probably one of the best night's sleep I had had in months and months and months. And the next morning I woke up with a new sense about me and my situation. I didn't understand it, but I had a peace about my circumstances. And I wasn't filled with a need to con and manipulate and lie my way out of this mess once again like I had done so many times before.
Mm-hmm. It was simply, you got to the end of your rope, and God was there.
That's right. A friend of mine sings a song, "God's office is at the end of your rope."
I think that's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes. In a police station, in a holding cell, when you came to the end of yourself and knew that you had, what, 40 years of age?
I was 40 at the time, that's right. And I had been on...
And I dare say you feel 20 years younger today than you did then.
Well, I'm 50 today, and I don't feel it most of the time.
No, you don't look anything like that, of course. God has a wonderful way of restoring the years that the locust, the palmer worm, and the canker worm have eaten, doesn't he?
He certainly has.
Yes. And God's given you... You could have been in prison for many years with those charges you had against you.
That's right, I could have.
But you discharged that whole thing in how many years?
3.5 years. I was back out into the community once again.
Just a miracle, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But those 3.5 years were 3.5 of the most positive, productive years of my life.
But you didn't make peace with God and confess your crimes and sins and failures just to get out of prison early. You had no idea that anything was going to get you out early.
No, as a matter of fact, I never once prayed that the Lord would open the doors and let me go free. The only thing I prayed for was that he would break me and remake me into the image of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Make me a worthwhile human being.
Yes. Now, after this amazing personal encounter with God in a holding cell in a police station in Florida, did they move you then to the county jail?
Yes, I went to the county jail the next day.
Mm-hmm. And what happened when you went to court with this long record? I've got it here before me. You have a rap sheet as long as your arm.
Well, I was arraigned the next morning on those charges, mm-hmm. the armed robbery, the attempted murder, the aggravated assault, and the grand theft. And I spent some time in the county jail going back and forth to court,
mm-hmm.
and I was eventually sentenced to 8 years, 5 years, and 5 years, to be followed by 15 years probation, and was eventually then sent to the reception and medical center.
Now, for those who haven't been involved with the criminal court system, you didn't have to add that 8 and 5 and 3 and make 16 out of it. It was concurrent.
Yes, it was.
Prisoners would say the judge could have stacked my time, but he didn't.
That's right.
And if he had stacked the time, it would have been 16 years.
It certainly would have been.
Mm-hmm. And what about this 15 years probation? Are you on parole now?
No, I'm not. As you know, I went into the prison ministry full-time a few years after getting out of prison, and I was still on probation at the time, and the restrictions were beginning to somewhat limit my ability to move around the state of Florida and other states, and so I went back to court, presented my case, showed them what I had been doing over the past 5 years. This was 5 years after I got out, and gave them letters of recommendations from chaplains who I had worked with, and that was thrown out the window.
And they took you off probation and parole.
That's right.
Not 15 years, just a few short years.
5 years.
And when you came out of prison, John, there were some Christians waiting for you with a big banner made from a bed sheet welcoming you back into the free world. And before the day was over, they had taken you back into another prison, not as a prisoner, but as a Christian witness. What happened?
Well, you know, Chaplain, slightly before I got out of prison, God is really in the miracle-working business, and he opens up doors that no one can close.
He sure does.
And I had already become minimum custody, and we had gone to a youth ranch even before I had gotten out. And there I was in my whites, because that's what we traveled in, speaking to a group of young men from the ages of 13 to 17. And the Lord permitted me to really speak to them about the love of God. And so many of them came to the Lord that day. And it was the first time I had ever had a real opportunity to preach. And it was such a blessing. And it was such a moving experience. And it was just a simple message of how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes.
And that's the message. And these young boys, hearing my testimony and hearing about the love of God, many of them came to the Lord that day. So that time, the day I got out of prison, wasn't the first time I had had an opportunity to be in that kind of a situation. And I don't remember how it went that night, that first time out of prison into another prison, because there have been so many prisons since then, and so many services, yes, since then, and so many Bible studies, and so many hours in prison that I just don't remember how it went that night.
Now, after you came out of prison, God not only opened the doors for you to minister in many places, churches, prisons, whatever, but something else happened in your life since you came out. You took to yourself a wife. How long after you came out of prison, and how did this come about?
Well, it was a year and a month after getting out of prison that I actually got married, and it was 6 months after getting out of prison that I met my lovely wife, Bernice, who grew up in a Christian home,
yes,
who has 8 brothers and sisters that are all Christian, and half of them are in the ministry.
Isn't that amazing? Amazing.
And we met, and she was living 250 miles away, and we did all our courting over the phone and through mail, and in that 6 month period saw each other about 5 times. And the 5th time, I held her hand for the first time and asked her to marry me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said yes. And 6 months later, on October the 20th, 1984, we were pronounced man and wife. And it was the happiest day of my life.
You know, John, your romance and your marrying with so little time together prior to your marriage sort of reminds you of the Bible times, doesn't it? Men and women married and didn't hardly even know one another. They were put together by their families. And some people thought that you couldn't ever have a real love relationship under those circumstances, but that isn't true at all. You don't have to sit in the back seat of a car or in a rumble seat 100 nights before you know whether or not you're made for each other and that God has chosen you for each other, do you?
No, you don't, Chaplain Ray. We just felt that God was really right in the center of our relationship and had brought us together and was going to carry us right through the whole thing.
And isn't that amazing? You coming from a family where there was probably no relationship to the church at all and marrying into a family that was totally involved in the church and half of them actually in full-time ministry.
Well, it wasn't easy all the time. We went through some difficulties. But let me tell you, I can say today that I am one of the happiest men in the world. I have a wonderful wife who loves me and a wonderful daughter who loves me, and we've come to a place in our relationship where we're really producing some fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just thrilling to be with one another.
There's a scripture that says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It really is true, isn't it?
I like to say it like this. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Amen.
That's a good rendition of it. That's a good rendition. And you know, when I grew up as a child, you pick up from the people around you, your peers and the older folks, what life is like. I grew up thinking that marriage was a very short honeymoon when two people loved each other, and then it switched over into an adversarial relationship that continued until it was mercifully ended by death. That was my impression from the life I saw around me. But that isn't the Bible way at all.
No, it's not. But I grew up believing the same thing because of
mm-hmm.
the environment
yes.
that I grew up in. But that's not the way it is.
Now, your wife is involved in this total
oh, yes.
ministry, isn't she?
Oh, she is involved up to her eyebrows.
The John Salas story, I'm Not Coming Back. And to our prisoner friends who are hearing this broadcast, the wonderful things that God did for John Salas are just as available to you or to any other prisoner in this land or anywhere in the world. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ had a special interest in prisoners. He was crucified between two prisoners, took one of them with him to paradise. He's never seen a prisoner he didn't love, and God really cares about you. That's why he sent his son to die for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. That is why his presence, his Holy Spirit, is there with you right now, no matter where you are, in any jail or prison in the land. And if you'll hear his whispering voice, son, daughter, open your heart, invite him in, and he'll come in with the gift of eternal life.
And now it is time for Tim to tell us the common message between this song
in this poem. Amen.
They had the biggest pipe organ of any church in town. But over in the amen corner of that church sat Brother I, and he insisted every Sunday on singing in the choir. His voice was cracked and broken. Age had touched his vocal cords, and nearly every Sunday he'd get behind and miss the word. Well, the choir got so flustered, the church was told and fined that Brother I must stop his singing, or the choir was going to resign. So the pastor appointed a committee, I think it was three or four, and they got in their big fine car and drove up to Iyer's door. They found the choir's great trouble sitting there in an old armchair, and the summer's golden sunbeam lay upon his snow-white hair. Said York, we're here, dear brother, with the vestry's approbation to discuss a little matter that affects the congregation. Now, we don't want no singing except what we've bought. The newest tunes are all the late. The old ones stand for naught. And so we have decided, are you listening, Brother I? You'll have to stop your singing. It's messing up our choir. The old man raised his head, a sign that he did hear. And on his cheek, the three men caught the glitter of a tear. His feeble hands pushed back the locks as white as silky snow, and he answered the committee in a voice both soft and low. I've sung the songs of David nearly 80 years, said he. They've been my staff and comfort all along life's weary way. Sorry I disturbed the choir. I guess I'm doing wrong. But when my heart is filled with praise, I can't keep back a song. I wonder if beyond the tide that's breaking at my feet, in that far-off heavenly temple where my master I shall meet, yes, I wonder if when I try to sing the songs of God up higher, I wonder if they'll kick me out up there for singing in heaven's choir. A silence filled the little room. The old man bowed his head. The committee went on back to town, but Brother Iyer was dead. The choir missed him for a while, but he was soon forgotten. A few churchgoers watched the door, but the old man entered not. Far away his voice is sweet, and he sings his heart's desires, where there are no church committees and no fashionable choir. Let me hide myself in
thee. Pickin', pickin'. I think it's all so hard. Pickin', pickin', everyone apart. Stickin', stickin', stick your nose right in. Flick your bick and point out every sin. How'd you get in? Judging this and judging that. You've got a lot of nerve. You know the rules. You know the law. You just want to serve, but don't. You know the Bible says your job is just to love. Just love each other more. You can leave it to the judge. Leave judging to the judge. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot you can do to help your neighbor out. You have much better things to do. Instead of picking, 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 living, giving, that should be your goal. Kick it, lick it. You don't have to be cold. Picking, picking, if that's all you can do, I'm not going to stand here arguing with you. What good would it do? Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot that you can do to help your neighbor out. You had much better things to do instead of picking, picking, picking.
All right, you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
First of all, let me just say, it is written, Galatians 5, verse 11, I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. And the answer to this song and this poem and the common theme is summed up in the next four verses. Verse 12 through 15 of Galatians. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you, for brethren, ye have been called all to liberty. Only you, flesh, but by love, serve one another. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but if you fight and devour one another, be not consumed one of another.
All right, Tim. And are you sure, 100%, that is your final answer?
Yes, Kenny, I'm 100% certain that's my final answer.
Well, Tim. That poor carburetor ain't getting any rest from you. That's for sure. And hopefully, as you bypassed her, you showed a little love, as it says there in Galatians, loving your neighbor as yourself, and you called at least maybe 911 or AAA for the poor lady. Amen. Because you are now 17 for 18. Hopefully you at least called AAA for the lady.
Praise be to God. 16 out of 17. 17 out of 18 it is. That's right, Kenny. 17 out of 18. And be going for, Lord willing, the next three here before too long, Lord willing. God bless.
Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of many, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Flame and star goes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound. As quick as lightning streaks from east to west across the sky, God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that final glorious hour. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore.
Tribulation.
I
don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is darkened down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is called No More War. When Jesus Christ was here, he prophesied that this earth would be continually plagued with wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24:6, King James Version. He observed the continuing sinful pattern of mankind. Jesus knew that mankind, if left completely alone, would steadfastly persist in his usual plan of aggression, one against the other. History proves this to be true. In practically all rules or circles of world government, we hear the giants of politics talking about peace and disarmament. Yet, in spite of their puny efforts, war, that mad game the world loves to play, is increasing. An unbiased survey made several years ago by the Institute for Strategic Studies in London said, there have been 128 conflicts since 1898, with 73 of them having taken place since World War II. Wars have been on the increase in each of the past four decades. It is the underdeveloped areas of the world where armed conflict finds its main breeding place and hatches the unsavory incidents which lead to war. 95 of the 128 wars have taken root in Asia, Africa, or the Middle East. These areas seem to be growing less stable and more dangerous as time goes by. The author of this survey, Mr. David Wood, lists four main reasons for the increasing events of warfare. Number one, the breakup of colonial empires, whether Ottoman, British, French, or Japanese, and the subsequent emergence of new states, which are often small, poor, and insecure. Number two, there are more arms available in the world than ever before in history. Masses of conventional weapons were left in private hands after World War II. Modern nations gave their cast-off weapons to allies. Some big countries pushing export drives are selling armaments to almost anyone with money to pay for them. Number three, peacekeeping forces such as the United Nations have proved to be largely ineffective. Four, there have been a rebirth of guerrilla warfare demonstrated successfully by the Boers in 1899, later adapted by others, especially communist revolutionaries. At the rate things are going, will the world blow itself up by the end of the century? Mr. Wood has come to a practical conclusion which has surprised some who have studied his facts and figures. He points out the only four major wars have been fought since 1945, Indochina, the Chinese Civil War, Korea, and Vietnam. It's an amazing thing, but war seems to be increasing all over the world. Back in 1898 and until 1907, there were 9 wars. From 1908 to 1917, there were 15 wars. From 1918 to 1927, there were 11 wars. From 1928 to 1937, there were 8 wars. And from 1938 to 1947, there were 12 wars. From 1948 to 1957, there were 28 wars. And from 1958 through 1967, there was a total of 45 wars. All these make a grand total of 128 wars since 1898. Man, we must be war nuts. Of course, these wars were of different sizes, but they were all armed conflicts where people were slaughtered and geographical boundaries were changed. Going back to the Russo-Japanese War of 1904 to 5, 130,000 people were killed. The Balkan Wars of 1912 and 1913 took the lives of 162,500 people. The Colombian Civil War of 1948 to 1953 claimed the lives of 200,000 people. Beginning in 1962, the Vietnam War had cost the lives of 317,650, including 16,000 Americans. These latter figures are through the year 1967. In the Spanish Civil War of 1937 to 39, 431,000 military personnel were killed and 225,000 civilians were killed. During the Korean War of 1950 to 53, 581,823 military people were killed, including 33,629 Americans plus 400,000 civilians. That was the Korean War, which lasted 4 years when a total of 1 million people were killed. World War I, which began in 1914 and concluded in 1918, claimed the lives of 8 million. 418,000, including 126,000 Americans, plus 1,300,000 civilians who were killed. So roughly 10 million people were killed in World War I. In World War II, beginning in 1939 and concluding in 1945, 16,933,000 military were killed, including 292,000 Americans plus 34,305,000 civilians, bringing a grand total of almost 50 million people killed in World War II. My God, help us. War is a dreadful thing. War is the most fiendish curse that can be visited upon mankind. All the atrocious crimes committed in years of peace, all that is spent in times of peace by secret corruptions or by the thoughtless extravagance of nations are more trifles when compared to the gigantic evils which stalk over this world during a state of war. God is usually forgotten in war, and many of the principles of Christianity are trampled upon during the time of conflict. War is to be dreaded perhaps the most of all the universal calamities which overtake a people or nations. A German proverb says, a great war leaves a country with 3 armies, an army of cripples, an army of mourners, and an army of thieves. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed incalculable debts and incredible taxes. Armies, debts, and taxes are the known ingenious instruments of slavery for bringing the many under the control of the few. In war, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and such is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the forces of the people. No nation can continually preserve its freedom in the midst of raging warfare. It's an amazing thing, but down through the ages, mankind has sought to eliminate war. Practically every president, every governor, every statesman, and every person who has accepted the sacred responsibility of leadership of any one given number of people has publicly stated that he was against war. But yet, on the other hand, preparations for war continue to mount in intensity. And in our times, after approximately 6,000 years of dreadful experiences and mistakes of war, mankind is no nearer a permanent solution to the problem than Adam was in his day when Cain slew his brother Abel. War is something which mankind has never been able to subjugate. We see such nations overrun by larger ones. We see stalemate wars continuing, and there just doesn't seem to be any solution to bring them to cessation. Politicans sit up late at night pondering magic methods to stop war, and the only thing that happens to that war become more costly. New implements of destruction were invented and brought into being, as much like a man swinging a tiger by the tail. He has to keep swinging it, because if he stops, the tiger's to turn and attack him. The financial cost of war is ever spiraling. In the midst of the Civil War, the United States government was spending $1 million every 12 and a quarter hours. Nowadays, the federal government is spending approximately $1 million every 5 minutes. It's approximately 128 times as fast as 100 years ago. Consider the cost of World War II, the bloodiest conflict known to mankind, in terms of money and based on a survey report provided to American University amounted to $1,154,000,000, to say nothing of $239 billion in property damages. A breakdown in dollars and cents shows that the United States expenditures for war material totaled $317,600,000,000. The Soviet Union, $192 billion, and Britain, $120 billion. On this enemy side of the fence, Germany spent $272,900,000,000. Okay. And then Italy, $94 billion, and Japan, $56 billion. Now, mind you, all this is for war. Imagine the good it could have brought in mankind if it invested in a more peaceful purpose, like trying to help homeless people. The United States is still paying for its part in the World War II conflict. It's estimated this country will spend $20 billion caring for its veterans. Yet the monster of war is only one phase of the conflict. What about the men killed? What about the heartache? What about the men blasted into eternity, some without Christ? What about the children left fatherless? What about the women widowed? What about the thousands of single women with no husband? Tragically, the present trend is toward more extravagant spending for war and war preparation. Only one morning in 1945, just as the sun was peeking over the distant mountains of New Mexico, men set off an explosion which has been devastating repercussions around the world. The first detonation of a nuclear device was accomplished that morning, and ever since, the human race has been confronted with the possibility of terrible annihilation. The nuclear powers possess the ability to delete man from the face of the earth. Naturally, preparing and designing expensive war implements is a costly thing. There's just no stopping place. Have you ever really wondered why wars originate? The Bible tells us. If mankind would try to counteract the Bible explanation for war, then war could be eliminated completely from the face of the earth. Please read carefully. The Bible definition for war. The writer of this portion of Scripture lays the blame right where it belongs, right at the front doorstep of sinful mankind. Scripture, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. James 4, 1 through 3. The portion of Scripture was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. About the time when James wrote this abbreviated explanation of war, the Jews in Judea were responsible for causing widespread insurrections against the Romans under the pretense of defending their religion and procuring their way of life. The many embittered factions among the Jews also fought among themselves violently and massacred and plundered one another. In other words, they weren't satisfied with attacking the Roman government, but they fought each other. It was dog eat dog, and this is what James is saying. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. These wars, which James refers to in this scripture, were undertaken through a part of covetousness and zeal in an effort to convert the heathen and destroy idolatry, at the same time increasing their monetary position in their own communities. Therefore, war is absolutely not necessary. It's the human heart in its blackened, depraved condition that brings on war. It's possible for the nations to live together without war. As a little girl, I used to wonder why we have to have war. I remember one night when I wasn't sleeping, lying awake, bright-eyed and staring at the ceiling, I was noticing the reflections being cast into the room as the automobiles drove by outside. I came up with what I consider a good solution to do away with war. Just for illustration, I hope nobody gets the wrong idea. Let's say France wants to go to war with Egypt. You know, that would cost a lot of money to hire a lot of troops, put them in uniform, and give them guns, and have them fighting each other. I propose the president of France and the president of Egypt meet on an island out in the Mediterranean. See, somewhere putting on boxing gloves and fight to the thing out until one of them falls dead. Look at all the money that would be saved. Nobody would get hurt, just the two fellows who were sore at each other in the first place. I think it's an excellent idea, and I'm thinking about submitting it to the Secretary General of the United Nations as a good way to end war. Maybe you have a better idea. My idea might be actually stop war. It's true. The two leaders of the two different countries don't feel too well, and they're getting up in age, and they have physical ailments, and fighting wouldn't appeal to them at all. These two wouldn't want to fight. But seriously, they would not stop war. The real way to end war, which is the Bible way, would be to take the selfishness, the uncleanness, the lasciviousness, the idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, adulteries, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, out of the human heart. You see, it's the wicked human heart that eventually leads to war. That's what James says in his little book, in which he writes, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members." James 4 and verse 1. I'm sure you must be aware. The unregenerated person has a heart which is full of iniquity, loves evil, is wayward and spiritually blind, deceitful, proud, and malicious in his planning and dealing with the other fellow. Back in the days of early Genesis, the Bible says every imagination in the thoughts of this heart, man's, was only evil continually. That's Genesis 6 and verse 5 in your KJV Bible. Reading in the first gospel, Matthew says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Matthew 15:18. In other words, our outward actions stem from the inner condition of the heart. The embryo of war is always conceived in evil hearts. Therefore, there must be a regenerating of the human heart, returning it from wickedness to righteousness, and that can only be accomplished through acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior, repentance of the sin, and returning to God. If every individual in the world would do so, there would be a cessation of all hostility throughout the whole wide world within 24 hours. No one would want to kill his brother. War would stop. Mankind would live in peace. Though we know such will not happen in our lifetime, yet I have good news for you. War is going to cease one of these days. The psalmist declares, "He maketh war to cease unto the end of the earth." Psalm 46:9. There's coming a time upon the earth when there will be no more war. There's coming a time when the production of armaments will cease. There's coming a time when those manufacturers will all go out of business. There's coming a time when every facet of war and preparation for war will absolutely grind to a complete dead halt. Then man will not engage in war anymore. And the scripture is here, "And he, Jesus Christ, shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn or pursue or practice war anymore." Isaiah 2 and verse 4. This verse of scripture says that during the millennial reign of Christ, war is to cease from the face of the earth. Nothing will hurt nor destroy in all the Lord's kingdom. Such a delightful atmosphere of peace will prevail throughout the earth that the farmers will have engraved on the little bells on the harness of their horses these words, "Holiness unto the Lord," Zechariah 14 and 20. In the past 3,250 years of recorded world history, there have been only 227 years of world peace. During that time period of time, it's estimated that more than 80,000 peace treaties have been made and broken, simply because many of the men signing them had deceitful hearts. Because they weren't regenerated by the Spirit of God, they did not have the full benefit and welfare of mankind in view. So, They pursued, of course, according to their own lustful desires. Result was war has been continually brought upon mankind unnecessarily. But Jesus Christ is going to bring an end to war, and mankind will not live under the ominous cloud of war and the many heartbreaking complexities associated with it. Throughout all the earth, there'll be only peace, world peace, universal peace, but until that time, we're going to see continued preparations for war. Now, until Jesus Christ arrives on the earth to begin his 1,000-year reign, mankind will be plagued by wars and will continue to beat their plowshares into swords. But thank God, when the Prince of Peace comes to take over the rulership of this earth, men will beat their swords into plowshares and they will not practice war anymore. Till that great and glorious day arrives, the scriptures tell us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Not only is there physical war going on, it's good versus evil, but there's a spiritual war evident. We need to do as the songwriter so beautifully declares. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. Stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers. Rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. And the next lesson will be Age of Ages.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today, I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician. Not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas type fireplaces or wood burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. all space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashtabula, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there, then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week, and you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address. 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
And don't forget to join the Six Eyes Radio Network group, the Six Eyes Radio Network group. And finally, Sister Ruth, as we pull into the station, who do we got with us?
Well, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Six, and me.
All right. Well, we're going to start with this time. We're going to change it up. Brother Six, what do you, any questions or comments there? Or final prayer request?
Say that one more time.
Any last comments, questions, prayer requests?
I did all that earlier. Just a great show. Interesting show. Great show. I like that segment, War, about war. I mean, this is what's going on even as we speak. And since the beginning of the time, it's been going on. So that's why I always pray for the ills of the world and just, you know, get back to peace. But great message.
Amen. All right. Well, Sister Emily, your turn. Any questions, comments, or new prayer request?
No, but while I was on mute, my other phone went off, and it was Mother, and she said, tell her handsome, talented son. I told her what he said, and she said, tell my handsome, talented son and gang, thank you.
Well, she's very welcome. Like I said, it was a dedication to her in a way. So we had fun with the show. Had lots of fun with it. So had a great show.
And
had fun.
Saying hello to. All right. Another great show. God bless.
All right. Well, Six, we're going to give the floor to you for any last questions or comments, at least last comments that you may have. And then we're going to call it a night and let you close us in prayer as well.
Well, just continue to support the Six Eyes Radio Network. We're doing great things over here, so just continue to support the network. We thank you for all our listeners around the world, that's around the city states or faraway countries. Thank you. And just keep putting God first in all that you do. Stay as stress-free as possible, and just love one another. With that, I'm complete, and good night from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
God bless everybody.
God bless. We love everyone.
Yeah, bless.